supposed to be on Netflix this week, and it never made it.
Why not?
I don't know. I so want to see that on your recommendation.
I enjoyed it.
I want to see it. Only reason I want to see it.
Are they calling it a different name now, or what?
They're calling it Live, Die, Repeat.
Which is what tomorrow. The comic is based off.
The comic is called All You Need Is Kill.
All You Need Is Kill.
I watched Snowpiercer last night. Brilliant movie. Yeah. It was it's hard to explain, but it's kind of like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory meets Mockingjay. It's so weird, dude.
Right. It's such a good weird movie. Episode 60 of Geeks of the Square Table. Man. I am your host, Lawrence of America. And with me today, I have...
The Superior Gomer.
Big Bob.
The Intrepid David.
Big Bob, really?
I know. Big boy, Big Bob, Big Bob.
He never really went away, sir.
It's like Big Barda.
Who calls you Big Bob?
It's Big Barda? Is that what you're going for, a comic book name? Big
no,
Barda? Just Big Bob? It works, Bob. I'm not talking smack.
I mean, is there a small Bob?
In his pants.
Hey. I mean, how do you know?
Bob told me. He talks about it all the time.
All right. And the man of many voices.
The Intrepid David.
And we have a newcomer. The big, the bald, the Snow White, pure, uncorrupted.
Uncle Fester.
Slightly scrambled.
Very much so.
I love it.
Very much so. Oh, I gotta be mad at
you. You gotta say your name!
Say your name!
Geo.
I thought Geo was G-I-O.
No, it's
Geo. Geo is Spanish for no-go. That's why my car didn't take it.
Nova. Chevy Nova. Yeah.
Nova.
All right. What are we talking about today? There's a lot of stuff going on.
Okay, so other than Snowpiercer being an awesome movie, I definitely
agree. I loved it. It was cool.
I like his Willy Wonka meets.
Because it's not really a film that you say, man, this is no way this seriously happened. But it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be sort of an homage to the current state of affairs of society and how we move forward in society and how certain parts of society are off limits to certain people in the society. It was a really cool movie, man.
Yeah, it definitely says some neat stuff about the class separation and everything.
Yeah, and a lot better than a lot of these other movies are doing, because it was very subtle. It was very subtle in Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
And for a movie that only had, what, one or two sets? You know, to film sets. It was a beautiful film. The snow and the cityscapes and there's one scene where the train goes around this huge bridge in a half a circle. It's just a remarkable movie. It's really cool.
The great thing about that show, I'm not saying it's destined to happen or anything, but it's theoretically plausible.
Around the world.
Well, I feel like it didn't go completely around the world.
Maybe around Disney World.
It went around Europe.
Okay.
Yeah, it went through part of Russia and around... It went around Eurasia.
All right. I can see that.
I'm just saying, theoretically plausible. Okay, boom. And on the train, like the way things... I could actually envision that happening. There's no point, there's no way that would ever happen.
Dude, no, there were parts where they talked about a guy cut his own arm off so people could eat it. There were parts in it that I couldn't get over. There's no way that's going to happen. But it didn't matter because it was sort of like an artistic look at society. Willy Wonka.
But go ahead and watch it. I mean,
it's on Netflix right now.
Rolling Stone did an article like 10 movies you'd be stupid not to see.
Yeah,
and it was like number 4.
Oh, it's cool, man. It's a fun movie.
Yeah. Also, speaking of 4, November 4th was yesterday.
It was election day
so
nationwide
midterm
in
election,
America.
One thing I'd like to say: it always seems whether you lean to the left or the right, these midterm elections that don't get as big of a turnout, they always try to sneak in stuff that they know will be unpopular. In Tennessee, it was state income tax.
Didn't sneak in an income tax. This was specifically...
To disallow.
An income tax. It's always been allowable, but right now, what the amendment on yesterday's ballot said, and it went through with a huge majority of voters, is it adds an amendment to the Tennessee Constitution that says the legislature may never establish an income tax.
Another thing with these amendments, they're always worded in legalese and all so this stuff. Weird. You gotta look up the translation.
The one that got me yesterday was the one about how we pick our judges.
Right.
The law was changed.
Right now we vote.
Right now we're supposed to vote. In the Constitution of Tennessee, it says that the citizens get to choose. But we haven't been doing that since 1994. There's been a selected committee selected by the governor, and who's pick the judges. What Tennessee enacted yesterday is it's going to follow closer to the federal, where the president picks one and then the Congress, you know, approves it. That's what's going to happen in Tennessee now. I don't give a damn either way.
That's actually one I did vote against.
We should vote against it because if we were following what was in the Constitution now, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing now. So if you're not going to do what's in the Constitution now, why have an amendment to change the Constitution?
Well, you know, I was just...
Boom! It just blows my mind how they get over on politics.
I wasn't actually wanting to get on politics.
Me neither.
I was just saying...
Me neither.
That these your local elections tend to be more popular vote than Electoral College.
Yeah.
So your vote actually matters a lot more in these little elections than it does in a presidential
and
election.
And not only that, but your local politicians have a lot more impact
more
on you.
Your personal lives.
Yes.
Before
yes.
we move off of it, what was the results like nationwide for these elections?
Well,
like
there was...
Let's talk about the week.
All right, so...
Two states in D.C.
Two states in Washington, D.C. legalized recreational marijuana.
The only kind of marijuana there is. Sure, you might be taking it because you're sick, but it's still a good time.
You know, I actually think it's a better way to go than the medical marijuana, because now, like in California where medical marijuana is legal, the government will actually buy your marijuana for you.
You like that idea. I like that.
When the government is providing pot for the populace,
a cross between Obamacare and medical marijuana,
population control, because a bunch of stone people are not going to riot whatsoever.
It's true. True. Unless it's for marijuana.
If you give the population pot and food stamps, they're going to be... you're set.
Well, they may riot if there's no Doritos.
Yeah. We've run out of Doritos!
We have more women in Congress right now than ever before.
Yes. The first African American senator from the South was elected.
Since,
Republican.
The first African American since the Reconstruction.
Well, no, those were appointed. Those were appointed after Reconstruction. Those were not elected. This is the first African American elected in the South. Elected by popular vote.
What state?
South Carolina.
Really?
It was a Tea Party guy, too.
No,
I
think there may have been some...
There might have been. I didn't check the source, but I did hear a source say that it's the first elected. It was Glenn Beck, though, so take that with a grain of salt, the size of your freaking car.
Oh, gosh.
But anyway...
politics is awesome.
Like, what were the results? Like, did the Republicans get the Senate?
Yes, the Republicans have control of the House and the Senate.
Control the House and Senate now.
Well, it's not a super majority. The nuclear option is still on the table, so...
Yeah, it's... It will take anything that is clearly a very democratic plan will take some incredible...
We're pretty much going to look at Obama being a lame duck for the next
year. Well, really what we've done is we've moved we've moved from an obstructionist Congress full of a minority of Republicans to an obstruction of the executive branch who is going to veto everything that comes out of the Congress that they don't work on together.
Or
there's still comprehensive immigration that they can agree on. There's still a minimum wage increase that they can agree on. There is Republican support for minimum wage increase. There are things that this political body can get done before the next presidential election.
Basically, what I was going to say, if anybody, there was such a backlash against Democrats in general in a lot of places.
So weird.
If anything,
so weird.
Well, it's not really.
No, it is, because if you look at if you look at the actual issues, right?
If he
you
wants
say,
to add commentary, I know, he needs to pull
exactly,
up a seat.
Right? Especially if they're going to be demonizing contents made out of context about a huge group of people. But yeah. Anyway, if you look at the specific issues, Obamacare, people do not like Obamacare. But if you look at the stipulations included in Obamacare, like your kids can stay on your insurance till you're 25 and other things like that, people love it. So, and honestly, how does a Congress with 10% approval rating have a 90% in retention rating? It's so ridiculous, man. The politics in this country amaze me. And you don't even have to look at partisanship. You don't even have to look at partisanship.
I mean, not even looking at partisanship. The approval ratings are done with polls.
Yeah.
People on the streets.
Yeah.
Not all of them vote.
Oh, of course not. Of course. But even if you look at the polls with likely voters up 2 weeks up to, it was still 12% approval rating for Congress overall. With likely voters, Republican and Democrat. It's ridiculous in our country how everyone can hate the group but love their individual that makes up that group. We need term limits. Hey, definitely. Man. We need term limits.
That should be something that
we need term limits. Mitch McConnell should definitely not have been able to run again. Well, even though he won, good for him, great. He should not have been.
Oh, I wanted to bring it up. So encourage you to go look up who your new local senator is, your local congressman, wherever you might happen to may be.
And email them regularly. Literally.
Find out what they stand.
Yeah.
Find out. I mean, just take note of who all this is going to be. Yeah. You know,
Diane Black and I have a rapport now because I email her. I email my representatives at least once a month to tell them, no, this is... You know, when net neutrality was going through with the ICPA, CP, whatever the hell it was, 3 times a day I was emailing my people to say, no, do not vote against this. And it worked. Get out there. You do have the right to vote, but your biggest power as a citizen is to be able to contact your local officials anytime. Anytime. Exercise your right of free speech. You don't have to vote. Who gives a damn? That's a whisper amongst the screams. You can contact your people every month via email, every week, and let them know how you feel about issues.
Please note that all opinions expressed on Geeks of the Square
it's not an opinion.
The event,
that's
the
not an opinion.
Of those who are expressing them.
That is
it
not
may not
an
be
opinion.
Reflected of the party, the group, the whole Geeks of the Square table, our comic state too.
The definition of a popular vote is a whisper amongst the screams.
But anyway.
Anyway, let's move off from politics.
As far as historical notes, more women in Congress than ever before.
Yep.
The youngest woman ever
30
elected.
30 years old, just barely of age to be able to get in there. It's amazing.
I'm telling you, watch out, because the son of Jeb Bush is the first Bush to ever win his first election.
Yep. Jimmy Carter's grandson, the first Carter to ever lose his first election. Oh, well, it happens.
So,
but you know what? Family and politics is another thing we could get on, but I'm not going to because I'm sick of that shit.
Well, family and politics is almost like American royalty.
Yeah. I hate it.
Let me segue. The real British royalty.
Yes.
So, boy, the colonies are making fun of me again.
Prince William put out a statement saying that he's going to pass on the throne for now. This came as news to Prince Charles, who actually is inheriting the throne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First of all, the queen would have to step down.
The queen is getting ready to step down because
getting
of
ready.
Ill health or whatever.
What does the queen even do? She walks around and hangs out.
Right. I mean, there are some things she does, stately function.
That crown weighs like 15 pounds.
Hats.
That crown weighs like 15 pounds.
I think it weighs more than that.
Yeah, it's heavy though, dude. Yeah.
I think it weighs 20 something.
Yeah. It's solid gold full of gems. Yeah, it's probably, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. Good deal.
Well, have you seen how big the swords are that she has to knight people with? Like, I mean, at some point, and, you know, it gets too old. She's going to take some poor
You ever seen a.
Well, there was always a lot of speculation that she was going to pass the throne to William. Anyway.
That's the thing. She doesn't get to elect the next king or queen. She doesn't get to. There's a line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Charles is next.
Yeah. But no, there but is there
he,
is
if he gets so old, whole, he can choose not to be king.
The thing about that is there is some rumor that says that he will not be allowed to be king because there are rules that you cannot be divorced.
Yeah,
which is why Henry VIII killed all of his wives.
The reason why there was
yeah.
always that talk about it, he would be passed. The throne would be yeah. passed not to him.
Dude,
but,
and Prince of Wales is a sweet gig, man.
Well,
why
the one it's not that you can't be divorced; is that you have to be Protestant.
Oh, and he's not Protestant?
No, but the Protestants don't want you to be divorced.
Okay.
Or something like, the problem with him being divorced is a problem within his religion.
Oh,
not
because he would
not
become
the actual
he would become
rules.
The head,
I actually
yeah.
looked
the
this
head
up
of the
this
king
morning.
Of the king.
And you guys thought our electoral process
the queen
was
or
complicated.
King of England is the
electoral
head of
college
of England.
Ain't got nothing on
that's
that shit.
Why that, that's why there's that issue, because whoever yeah. Whoever the king or queen of England is they are the head of the Church of England.
Which is weird, because the Church of England isn't really even a thing anymore.
Yeah, but...
It's so weird. Hey, that's weird, man.
That is weird.
I wish we had a queen. Mm. So we could make funny voices.
How we can make funny voices all the time? Well, what they call me to stop making fun of me? I don't know why they want to make fun of me all the time.
I just always cracks me up.
I'm by yourself, right?
That just always cracks me up.
Little Rob.
We were talking about movies earlier. Let's get off of politics and international nonsense. This weekend is probably the last good box office shootout before the end of the year. This weekend we got Big Hero 6 from Disney and Marvel going
sure
up against Interstellar from Matthew McConaughey and
Nolan.
What do we think is going to win here? What do we think is going to win here?
Well, I'm guessing. I'm going to have to say Big Hero 6.
I'm thinking Big Hero 6.
Movie.
It's a kids movie.
Yeah,
and adults are going to be drawn to it as well, though, I think.
Yeah. But I think Interstellar probably has
staying power. I think Interstellar has award-winning power. Yeah. From what I've heard, the attention Nolan put into this thing. If not for cinematography and effects.
The cast is phenomenal.
The cast is actually award-worthy in a science fiction film that might be mainstream. Which does not happen. You know, in our award environment here. So
I mean, I'm torn. I want to see both of them.
I want to see both of them. That's what I mean. This is a real shootout.
I may go see them both this weekend if time permits.
Yeah. If you're going to see Interstellar, I've heard because Nolan shot it in IMAX, you have to see it in IMAX. So if I go see it, it probably is not going to be this weekend. But, yeah, I would love to see Interstellar, man. It looks like it's right up my alley.
It looks beautiful.
Big Hero 6 looks like a really cute, hilarious superhero movie. The same kind of movie Disney always does.
But it's got the pedigree of having, like, the people with Wreck-It Ralph. And I love
Wreck-It Ralph. Oh, man, Wreck-It Ralph. I'm looking for a Wreck-It Ralph, too. Do you cry at the end of Wreck-It Ralph like me every damn time?
I cried when he was going to give him... he was going to sacrifice himself to save a sugar rush.
I almost want to cry right now. It's such a good movie.
It was such a noble moment.
Oh, man. Yeah. Disney is hitting on all cylinders right now. Yeah. You really have to give him credit, which is the only reason I give him credit up against a Nolan sci-fi movie that's on the level of Interstellar all these other actors.
A question because only Larry will be able to ask.
Oh, no.
Is Guardians of the Galaxy still being shown in theaters?
Yeah, I think it is. No, I know for a fact it is because yesterday I did a search for Guardians of the Galaxy looking for when Rocket Raccoon debuted the comic and when that movie came out. It was August 1st it came out.
Yeah.
Yes, because the first thing that came up was Showtime's in my area on Google. So yes, it still is in theaters as of yesterday.
Let's see.
That's amazing.
It's
amazing. And it's the most popular movie of the year.
And it's still going.
And it's a movie that Marvel didn't think was gonna be the way it was.
It's a Disney movie.
They put so much more money behind Captain America earlier this year.
Well, it's another Disney movie that has longevity, because like Frozen had longevity.
Oh yeah,
Frozen was still playing well into the time it was released on DVD.
Oh, man.
Do you want to build a snowman?
People would probably go see. I mean, any Disney movie, you know that.
Oh, it's built
a certain
in.
Point.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a built-in audience.
There's people that will go see it long after. You know, who even have the DVD? Who would go see it again in theaters?
I'm just saying, Guardians of the Galaxy is still in theaters and has been out longer than
Captain America.
Well, no, I was going to say a movie that came out around the same time that Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow, and it's already supposedly on Netflix streaming.
I thought Edge of Tomorrow came out long before Guardians did.
It was like a week or two, I think. It wasn't that long.
No, I think it was like longer than that.
Was it? It couldn't have been that long. August is when Guardians came out. It couldn't have been that long before that.
I think
that.
It came out at least a month before that.
It might have been. Well, that would have put it out 4th of July weekend. I know it didn't come out 4th of July weekend.
Because
that 4th of July, that was Spider-Man.
Yeah, but
Amazing Spider-Man.
I remember Larry talking about it.
It was okay. The web-slinging was awesome. It's worth the price of admission just to see Spider-Man fly through New York.
While we're on movies real quick, did anybody see the Pee-wee Herman dub of the Avengers Age of Ultron?
No, I saw it available, but I did not look at it because I thought it was just hype for the announced Pee-wee's Big Adventure movie they're doing again.
But it's
we can definitely talk about that.
Edge of Tomorrow came out in June.
Damn.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Whatever, David.
How late June?
June 6th.
Oh, so it's two full months. So yeah, that's about right.
Versus August 1st.
Yeah, so that's about right then, I guess, for release times, release schedules. Still, it's weird.
Yeah.
But let's get on Pee-wee Herman. Who is all about? All right, first of all, since when did Pee-wee's Big Adventure become part of geek culture? Because comicbook.com, CBR, all these comic book related websites pushed that story about the new Pee-wee Herman movie. And that doesn't make sense to me.
Pee-wee Herman has become part of pop culture.
So, where do we draw the distinction? Let me ask the bigger question. When do we draw the distinction? When does comicbook.com, just for example, or we'll take our website, outrightgeekery.com, when are we able to pull something into the geek culture? And we can just lackadaisically, okay, yep, Pee-wee Herman, it's geek culture, screw it, we're going to cover it. No, who decided that Pee-wee's Big Adventure is in the same culture as comic books and things like that? When did this happen? Where was I? When did I fall asleep?
It was the Turner Broadcasting Network, and they decided when they started running it in the middle of Adult Swim.
No, that...
What, Pee-wee's Playhouse?
Yeah, they ran Adult Swim
That's who
several years ago.
It.
On top of the fact, how many geeks cannot name off at least part of Big Marge's speech from the?
No,
I never cared for Pee-wee's Playhouse.
I loved Pee-wee's Playhouse. Big Marge's I loved Cherry. I loved Johnny.
Right.
I loved the whole
Which is
idea
Pee-wee Herman
of it.
Geekdom. See,
but it fitting it into the same sort of geekdom that comic books and comic book movies are in just seems like a stretch to me. It's
if
weird.
You think about it, it's like a comic book come to life. Like a zany,
it's more of a comic strip come
comic,
to life.
Yeah,
I'll give you that. It's just
but
odd
it's
to
stuff
me,
we've
man.
Grown up with. I mean, yeah. And yeah. So, well, it's been like Pee-wee Herman's been having a resurgence in his career, you know, because...
Like, we can cover a RoboCop movie because somehow, like the RoboCop remake, we can cover that because somewhere along the line, RoboCop entered...
The comic books.
No. I mean, only after the fact.
Yeah.
Is that what happens? So if there was a Pee-wee comic book, if there's a General Hospital comic book, I could start reviewing the daily episodes of General Hospital on Outright Geekery. I'm not going to do that. Please go to OutrightGeekery.com and check out everything we do, which does not include General Hospital reviews.
Well, here's what happened. Because
It makes no sense.
Does it make...
Manga and comic books have a large crossover audience.
But who decides
anime and
yeah?
So in this instance, Cartoon Network,
forced
it down people's throats because they've got the rights cheap.
My thing is,
is it us, the fans, that are
putting this into our own geekdom, which is what is the way it should happen, or are these entities that cover the geekdom saying? No, we can get some more mileage out of this. We're going to put this on here. And you need to just assume that it's been part of the geekdom.
I think it's a little of both.
I think it is, too. I mean, it's kind of semantics and splitting hairs. But eventually, everything is going to be geekdom.
Part of the geekdom.
And that's... Geekdom is supposed to be counterculture to a certain extent. You know? It's supposed... Because if it's not geek culture... Then it's just culture.
Or it's mainstream.
Then yeah, mainstream.
But that's Pee-wee's Playhouse is becoming mainstream.
But then should we be covering geek culture? We're covering culture. We're covering mainstream culture. We're no different than everybody else. But we're supposed to be part of this geekdom. That's what defines us.
Are you having some sort of midlife
crisis? I might be having a mid-geekdom crisis, a geek life crisis. I think that's the thing to call it, geek life crisis. That is going to be my next rant on Outright Geekery, geek life crisis. Because now, I remember sitting in study hall when I was in like 6th or 7th grade, and a dude come up and ripped my comic book in half because I was reading a comic book. That would never happen today. If my kid was reading a comic book, the bully in school would be like, oh shit, what are you reading, dude? And that's good. I'm okay with that. I'm all for that, you know. But isn't something lost in the process? It's ours. We lose a part of our ownership of it. And that's what actually created the culture. Me having an ownership of these comic characters. I love them. They are like my family. You know, I want to see what they're doing every month.
Geeks were the original hipsters.
Yeah. And now it seems like we can't be hipsters anymore. Like, not liking this stuff is the hipster thing to do.
No, I mean, I don't think geeks were the original hipsters.
Yeah, me neither. But I understand what he was saying, though.
I mean, no.
You understand what I mean, though.
But here's the thing.
And it goes further than Jules being upset that his culture has been hijacked. Because that's different.
But that's saying it's not nerdy, it's not geeky anymore, by the way. Me and you, the 30-some-odd-year-old generation defined it. They've redefined.
It was defined for us. We were called geeks. We were.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We didn't write the definition.
Yeah.
As we know it.
And just because
the 20-some-old generation has redefined it.
Just because we embraced that stuff, we were geeks. Now that everybody is embracing it, it can't be part of the geek culture anymore. You can't call it geek culture. You just have to call it culture. And I'm upset about it a little bit.
I'm sorry.
With that said, though, however, if a Star Trek geek can still be a Star Trek geek, you know, somebody can watch Star Trek and not understand the theoretical mechanisms behind warp drive like I do, you know.
Like what Shatner does.
Yeah. What deuterium actually means to a starship. Why they need deuterium. You know, what deuterium actually is. It's a hydrogen isotope. But, yeah.
You mean dilithium?
No, dilithium is actually a fictional substance like adamantium or vibranium. Deuterium is actually a hydrogen isotope. Most elements have the same number of neutrons as they do electrons. Isotopes have different number of electrons.
Yeah. Let's go on tangents.
That's not a tangent. We're talking about being a geek. I think
that's that right there.
That's probably, being a geek.
That's being a geek.
Yeah, that's being a geek.
That joke was way too subtle, Bob.
That's being a geek. Oh, tangent. Yeah. Oh, I get it.
Bob has a math.
I missed that sign there.
Yeah.
And the cosine.
But Bob. Shing.
All right, let's move on to something else. So, good movies though this weekend. Get out to the theater if you can. Plenty of opportunity to watch Awesome this weekend.
Larry and I participated in the Grand Prix.
Yeah, the Magic the Gathering tourney.
That was interesting.
Okay, so y'all...
Now, it was Dave's first time.
Y'all pre-registered Friday.
Well, it's Dave's first time to go to a big event like this. And it can definitely be an overwhelming experience for a lot of people. But yes, it's a big event. This was one of actually the smaller Grand Prix because it was a team event.
Nice.
So there was only like 1,500 people.
Oh, that's cool, though. That's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. And it's an all-weekend thing. You have to pre-register online.
So it was Halloween,
we went
too.
There on Friday.
How would that go? How was the ambiance there? Yeah.
What were your first impressions?
But where was it, first of all? Because I didn't know where it was.
It was at the Music City Center.
Oh, at the Convention Center here in Nashville. Oh, awesome. So, cool venue for that.
So, yeah, what were your first impressions as never going into one of these Grand Prix?
Oh, gosh. It's a bit overwhelming. It's a lot to take in. And the rule lawyering is shit.
Now, this is one thing. You said the rules lawyering. This is actually a new development because...
Explain that to me.
Rules lawyering is somewhere where someone tries to... All right.
Argue the rules of the card in order to hit their advantage.
Perfect example would be.
We play
off the table, the dice off the table, in Monopoly or whatever.
You have to get that. They have to re-roll that.
All right. So whatever the rule was, either, and let's say, no, it doesn't say that you re-roll. So they made you stick with it when you just said, oh, I'm going to re-roll. No, you have to stick with that, blah, blah.
Because it's not in the rules.
Because you picked it up and re-rolled.
You lose your turn.
They're like, oh, you were cheating.
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of the rules of law.
Perfect example of this is...
Trying to win without actually winning.
I had a sticky sleeve in my deck, and I pulled up an extra card. And the opponent immediately was like, judge. Pretty much.
Well, there's money involved, there.
Right. Yeah. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
So you have drawn...
Money tends to suck the fun out of a lot of things.
Here's the thing. The rules lawyering has become more intense because... Thanks to the addition of high-def cameras and people being geeks and watching live video streams and recording it on these huge, massive screens.
You get a rules lawyer from across the planet.
There's been professional players who have been busted, you know, with thousands of dollars on the line.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know,
yeah.
And have been clearly like, hey, we did this. You can see this video here. That guy's cheating.
We have proof.
And they will... we'll
message
be watching
it
on the Twitter feed of the stream, so they can find out from some guy in China that somebody in Nashville was just doing deck manipulation because they got a better view of it, on their 50-inch computer monitor than the judge standing right there.
That's a good thing, though. I think
it is. Yeah. But the thing is, not all the matches are on camera.
Oh, okay.
But usually. When you've got, these are people that are on the pro level, so they have literally cheated hundreds or thousands of people, if not before, and they are getting busted left and right.
Yeah, there that whole that guy.
They banned like four people not too long ago. There was a team that got busted, and a couple of people that got busted in a Sunday event. There were people that got busted in the Friday event.
Wow,
there was
the prelims.
No,
well, the side event.
The side event. No, there was just recently, like a week ago or so, there was a guy that was, they caught on camera shuffling or cheating when he was shuffling.
And how do you do that? Just stacking the deck.
Here's the thing. If you look at an illusionist who does card tricks, you can know. You get to do it. You do things, thing called misdirection.
Well, the cards are in sleeves, and you can't see through those sleeves. So if you put a penny in there, you'll be able to feel the weight of a card.
There's certain things you could do. That's not what they do.
Okay. That's still
Larry had an opponent on a Friday event that was, you said it was pulling from the bottom of his deck.
Now, and he was actually doing it with his own deck. When he shuffled his deck, he was breaking up and stacking his deck.
Oh, wow.
And what it is, you
you just try to put a card closer to where you want to get it, for the most part. Just like blackjack.
Now, in Magic, you have to have land to cast your spell. So they'll riffle shuffle their opponents, which is when you grab two piles, lift up the corners, and they weave in between or whatever. Yeah. So what they'll do is they'll be talking to you. They'll wave their hand or something over there. They'll riffle shuffle. They'll see a card that's on top. If it's a land card that you have to have in your opening hand...
They're done shuffling.
Well, no, what they'll do with your deck, then they'll take it, cut it, put it on bottom. Then they'll shuffle again, and whenever they see a land, they just stick them on bottom.
Oh, I see.
And when they see non-lands, they stick them on top. So then your opening hand, you're like, I have no lands. I need two or three in my hand to start with.
And you can mulligan that. And
you mull, and you draw one less card. And they'll do it again. And, until they catch somebody who seems suspicious, because they're real friendly, it's the devil. Yeah.
Devil's in the details.
It's the people you know or the people you think are friendly and nice that are stabbing you in the back a lot of times.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of times, hey, he's a friendly, nice, upstanding guy. He gave me some advice. He shook my hand. He's a pro. I'm an average player. I expect to be beaten by him, because... He gets paid to do this and play for a living. He was being all nice and friendly.
See, that would make me suspicious. You're getting paid to play this. I'm suspicious immediately.
So, lot of that, they'll do that. And so, when they first started, a lot of these people, if somebody got accused, she'd be like, oh, no, he would never cheat because he's such a nice guy.
Now it's on camera.
Right. Now they're like, we have video evidence.
Yeah.
You're banned for 4 years.
Wow.
That's
a livelihood for these pro players.
They've had to bump it up.
They need to, to squash that shit. Yeah, man.
You know, I personally think repeat offenses should be a lifetime ban.
Agreed.
They don't lifetime ban to what, a third offense?
They won't do a lifetime ban for cheating. Only theft and assault, I think. Yeah. I know assault,
that's what you're talking about.
But it's got to be in-game, not in-game, but Saturday. Assault having to do
like
with
like, if you assault another player or
a
bribe, you know.
That's just weird, man.
But, you know, you're talking about a game where...
And there's a lot of money on the line.
Thousands of dollars every weekend.
And it's not just that. A lot of these people have a lot of money invested in becoming the players that they are, the proficient players they are, and accumulating the cards that they have in their deck. They're putting a lot of time and effort and money into doing that. It should be fair. Damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
It should be.
It should be. So are you thinking you got robbed? You got cheated?
I mean,
did you lose that game where you said dude was pulling off the bottom or whatever, or manipulating his shuffle?
No, and that was in a side event where there wasn't
any
much,
money or anything.
Yeah, you know, and like I ended up went undefeated until that match. It was single limb, and there was it was like there were six rounds, and I won three rounds and lost in the fourth round. So, to that guy.
The guy who you say was manipulating
was cheating,
his deck.
Yeah.
So what do you do in that case? Do you go to a judge and say, hey, I think this dude's cheating?
If it had been the main event and I'd seen that, I would have just called a judge right then. Like, hey, this is what this guy did.
Yeah. But then you get people like what David was talking about where he accidentally picked up two cards and dude's wanting you to forfeit that game because you cheated.
Pretty
right?
Much.
Well, and here's
the thing. It's a fine line, man, between keeping the game... significant
as a casual player, it's an eye opener. Just put
it. It would almost turn me off if I was just fun player.
In that match, it was early in the day.
Yeah,
that match made a difference. That I understand. This is competitive. It's competitive level. There's a reason why I say that they take these things more seriously.
Well,
then you do a Friday Night Magic.
Well, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But
of course, and they
now,
should. And
when
they
people
should.
Are doing that after they're statistically eliminated, that's when it pisses me off.
Oh, you mean like the game is pretty much it's all
right,
but over?
Okay, you can't make it to day two once you have your third loss.
Okay.
So when somebody did that after me and our team and their team both had three losses, and they want to try and rules lawyer, I'm like, you're just doing it to be. At this point.
Just to try to get to go to the next round.
They can't make it.
No,
they're not.
If you have three losses, you're out.
They're
already
eliminated.
You're
just playing for fun at
that
point.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Playing for fun and points.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're wanting... what's the point?
Which is like our last match. Our opponents didn't even show up. So, I mean, we just sat there for 10 minutes, and then we got an automatic win.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, which is fine.
You didn't get to play, though. You didn't go there to automatically win. You went there to play.
We were going to play.
To check magic cards on the table.
Right.
Well, that sucks. Like it was an overall good time, though.
It was an overall good time.
I mean, how did y'all do as a team?
Oh, yeah, no. We did horrible.
We did horrible.
But, I mean, honestly, while there were a few a-holes that stood out, most of the people we played against were really cool people.
Yeah, cool.
Got to meet cool people from different parts of the country or different parts of the world.
And where did you meet people from? I mean...
There was the assholes from Indiana.
Okay. All right. Are all of them have cool names?
Oh.
Yeah.
Assholes from Indiana.
We played against a Canadian team.
We played against a team from Alabama, Huntsville.
Yeah,
Who was the guy in the Sunday series?
I think I played against somebody from Europe. I don't know, but he was from Tennessee, I think.
Maybe
it was Paris, Tennessee.
There was that guy in the hat with the Indian beating and all that. The jacket with the Indian beating.
So is there anything? All right, so there was a specific format though too, right?
Right, this was a very unusual format.
Yeah.
It was a team event, which is a new thing.
Yeah. Did you see any like cool cards? Was there anything else going on but just play? Well, this is
all a set.
Or was there a convention thing going on?
Yeah, there is a little bit of a convention. With these Grand Prix, they always do artists and all this other stuff.
That's cool.
Arcade Post.
There's a bunch of...
I have a cool story about Arcade Post.
Man, I should have freaking tried to get press and cover it, man. Yeah, I should have went down there.
Press is actually specifically banned.
Oh, really? Why? What are the reasoning for that?
Unless it's pre-approved.
What's the reasoning for that?
Well, Wizards of the Coast covers it all.
They're televising featured matches.
And the people who run the event, they can cover it.
Yeah.
So,
it's specifically banned
unless you get a press pass from Wizards or the TO.
Okay.
Which, you can do,
but
they don't let you. I couldn't do an on-the-spot interview.
Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted you to and jeopardize any of your playing or anything.
But like Friday, I got there a little bit early. They were still setting up tables and stuff, and I had stopped at that Dunkin' Donuts in the convention center and had a dozen donuts with me. So I get in there, and I'm looking around. There's a booth already set up, everything else, and I'm looking at the artwork, and I look at the guy's like, hello. And I'm like, holy shit, you're Arcade Post. He's like, yes, I am. I'm like, would you like a donut? He's like, yes, I would. So, like, for like 15 minutes, I got to spend time with Arcade Post just sharing a donut.
But you didn't interview him for the website?
I had a picture.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And let me say, Arcade Post is almost always the first artist there and the last one to leave.
That's how you become a fan favorite artist.
Right, and he is really personable now.
Nice.
So
he was talking about like he didn't have breakfast. That he really appreciated the donut. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
and it sounds fun.
He definitely you can get a lot of what they call artist proofs, which are white back magic cards. They print 50 of and give to the artist as a little bonus.
Like the blank comic book covers that they can draw their own picture in.
No, the back card.
It's the same thing. Only it's the front of a magic card, and there's no magic back printed on.
Yeah,
and it's blank white, so they can doodle a picture on the back or whatever.
It would have the regular back.
It would have the artwork, have a white back.
Instead of the Magic the Gathering printer. It would still be a full Magic card.
I would want them to do a Magic card without the picture and then have somebody do a picture.
Well, they have those.
Oh, that's neat. That's cool.
You can get those
that
and
would
have
be
people
awesome,
do them.
Dude. That would be the shit to have your own favorite Magic card with your own picture on it.
And we had a lot of friendly faces there, too. We had Steven.
Oh, from the store.
Yeah, Lowitz. Nice. And,
there were tons of local people. It was
that's from
Lesser
Comic
Randall.
City, too, in
Lesser
Madison,
Randall.
Tennessee.
His name is Aaron, but we call him Lesser Randall.
Oh, where is Randall?
Alaska.
Still in Alaska?
Yeah.
Alaska.
That dude.
And to the debt collectors out there, Randall really is in Alaska. Stop calling.
To the debt collectors. Alaska's still part of America, debt collectors. He's probably making a lot more money up there than he was here.
All right, but it costs a lot more up there too.
Yeah, I know. All right, cool. So, what else about the?
Each Grand Prix gives out $35,000 in prizes.
Awesome, and it's just cash, but
that is cash.
Okay, neat. Very good.
All right,
and what is that? The top 10 overall, or
usually top 64 or 128.
It depends on how many actually are signed up.
It's the top 128 for a lot of times, depending on a lot of sizes. Yeah, but the winner actually gets $3,000 to $5,000, I think. First place gets $4,000. Second place gets $2,700. Third and fourth get $15,000. Yeah. Five through eight get $1,000.
So how many of these Grand Prix do they have a year?
A lot.
So if you're
54, 60,
so if you're a professional
like that,
Magic player who's really good,
just about every week.
No, there's one all but 4 weekends a year.
You could tour.
They don't do one whenever there's a launch or a pre-release. No, they don't do a pre-release.
Okay.
And they don't do one on Christmas, I think.
So it'd be 5 they're short.
Yeah. Something like that. But they do multiples, like. There was one also somewhere in Europe.
Oh, so it was
so there is more than one going on every weekend.
So, wow, you could really be a professional Magic card player if you were able to go to these tournaments and win.
Right.
You could get to from one show to the next and just play Magic for the rest of
your life. Yeah, if a tournament
That's
has...
That's really cool, man.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, if a tournament has 70,000 the payout will be $70,000 if it exceeds 3,600 players.
Okay.
Which some of them do.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, the top 230 players
would get cash.
And
so let me ask you this.
100 through 230 would only get $200.
But that covers your weekend. Yeah. All right, so let me ask this. Magic. All right, so you were only allowed to use a certain set of cards for this tournament?
Well, this was what they call limited format. So they give you so many packs and you build a deck out of that.
Oh, okay. Everybody did that.
Everybody did that.
Oh,
sealed
nice.
Deck.
Okay, so it was a sealed deck tourney.
Yeah, limited. You get X amount of packs. In this case, 12. It was team sealed, so we got 12 packs and I had to build 3 decks. Yeah, normally it's
not
one
included
person
in basic
gets
lands,
6
right?
packs.
They just throw basic lands at
you. 6 packs and you build one deck.
Okay. So, but pretty much, because they're all from the same set. So pretty much,
a set of cards has 250 different.
Yeah, but pretty much it's all random. But people are looking for certain cards to build certain decks that they know is going to beat everything else in the set.
Right, of course.
Does anything like that... Okay, so you're judged while you're building your deck, too, then, right?
Correct.
So you can't trade with neighbors and shit like that.
Well, what happens is... Somebody else opens the packs and writes down everything in them.
Oh, okay.
And at this point, if somebody sees a pack and go, wow, this pack, all these packs are worth hundreds of dollars.
They don't give that.
They can choose to take that and go home.
Oh, okay.
Because people used to just take that and leave, and that would technically be cheating.
Yes.
But they changed and said that you paid your money, you can call a judge, you can drop before you pass.
Okay.
If it's worth, I mean, you don't, it's,
you get to
it's
keep,
up to you.
You get to keep the cards at the end of the day.
That pool.
And you get to keep the cards at the end of the weekend
but,
anyway.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't those people just play with their hundreds of dollars worth of awesome?
Well, no, here's the thing. Because if you open it, you write everything down and you pass it.
Oh, yeah. Just like Friday night.
So if you
or just
don't
like
want to pass,
but
you're thinking of booster draft totally differently.
Oh, jeez.
So you write down everything that's in those packs, and then you'll pass it to somebody.
To a neighboring
or
team.
Or the judges will collect it and rearrange it. Every tournament organizer does it different.
Okay.
And they do that, deliberately so you can't predict patterns.
Ah.
And if they pick it up and shuffle it, you have a chance of getting your pull back.
Yes.
And if you do, you actually are somebody else is supposed to. You're supposed to swap with somebody, or that you're supposed to notify a judge.
But if it's all random, though, why wouldn't they? I don't know.
Well, basically, what it is, somebody else verifies what's in the packs you get.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's
That's the idea. Now with the day two. You know, you would get another sealed deck. Or in an individual sealed, you would have a booster draft.
Yeah.
But judges would verify everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It prevents people from trying to sneak in cards.
Well, I that's what my thing is.
Yeah,
it's got to be a problem. You know,
like the cards are stamped.
In the day, too, they're stamped.
For the event.
And they track, like...
RFID
like one
next,
judge,
right? They'll be throwing RFID chips on
but
the
But what
cards.
Happens is one judge will be using one stamp, and he'll stamp one pack.
Yeah.
You know, and then... So in the day two, they'll track every pack's position, know that you only had access to these stamps.
Wow.
You know, and blah, blah, blah.
Well,
and
there's big money involved, so yeah, they've got to make sure that... That it's, you know, the real deal,
and of
man.
Course, if you win one of these big events, or get so far up, or do so well, you get an invitation to the Pro Tour.
And
if you win, they pay for you to fly out to the Pro Tour and provide your hotel and all this other stuff.
Yeah, I think if you won this one, you got tickets to what, Pro Tour DC?
I'm not really sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
And of course, in the Pro Tour, they give away $1 million.
What? A million?
Yeah. So, I mean, yes, there's legitimate money.
Yeah. And that's this, really cool, man.
Yeah.
But you could come in top 10 at all these tournaments and make enough money to drive to the next tournament and
well,
feed
and
yourself.
The other thing too,
sleep on somebody's couch maybe, but
usually, like when I go to these tournaments, I sell a lot of cards I collect, and they'll pay for most of it.
Okay,
yeah.
That'll work. So and you're, usually it's a wash.
That's what I mean. You're just enjoying the weekend. You're not really paying anything.
Right. I'll sell to make my money back.
Nice.
But I can only if I do that. I can only do that like once or twice a year. Yeah. You know, if that.
Unless you win the big tournament.
Right. Right.
So how do people? Because it seems like chance. Because if you're up to date but on the new edition.
The reason why it costs me so much money is I like to buy prints from the artist.
Oh, well, that's
and
different.
I like to buy works.
That's
so
convention
every time I go
stuff.
One,
that's convention
I'll buy
around,
like $200
piece
like
of the
art.
Artist booths.
Yeah, that's and, convention stuff. But here's my thing. Because you know which edition of cards, which set of cards they're using, you can go on the internet and figure out exactly what you need to do these different combos. And get what you need to win, and
well,
then
you're
you get.
Not allowed to use your phone. When
no,
you're
no,
playing.
But beforehand, the cards aren't going to change
practice.
Before.
Yes.
So we you never, know what cards you're getting. So
you don't.
How
know
does
what
one
you're
become
until
top,
you open the
true?
Pack.
But how does one become a top 10 Magic player? Because
practice
is bullshit. I can memorize all the combinations of all the cards and say, "All right, I got that. I got that. I got that."
That
there's
won't
my
help
deck.
You unlimited.
No,
not it will if you know what set you're getting.
No, that won't.
No, it doesn't.
It because the set's so diverse.
250 cards, you said.
Right.
I can learn 250 cards and the best combinations
right.
of all those
all
cards.
Of that. But now this.
But that's
one
what
is,
I mean. How
not
does
always
it become
250 cards? Sometimes
okay.
it's multiple sets.
Oh, okay.
And it's
all right.
constantly changing.
Okay.
But out of that,
but
okay,
in this case, how do you become a winner if everybody has that same information? It's all
cards out of that.
It's all
and
chance.
Some of them are duplicate.
Look,
no,
that seems like a pain in the ass. No, you can do your studying and you can know exactly what cards to use, but unless you get the cards you need to win, you're not going to win.
It is very much a skill.
No, I'm not taking anything away from the skill involved, right. But
no. What,
once I learn,
explain.
Once I learn how to make a table, I don't need anybody else's skills. Once I see that these are the 250 cards available to
you're
me.
You're assuming that knowing how to build a table will help you build a table out of random materials.
But no, I already know the material.
Okay.
The 250 cards are the material.
Let's put it this way.
Go ahead.
You can memorize every card in a junkyard, but that will not help you build a go-kart. Unless you're good with general mechanics and
agreed.
General building, that will help you build
agreed.
A go-kart.
But I can,
even though everything you need in the is in
yeah,
there.
I can learn so, how to build a go-kart and be able to help build a car. This is not
learn?
Go-karts and cars. This is a set of Magic cards where we have 250 identified cards that are available to you.
But what I'm saying, a deck is a machine.
No, I totally understand. So, but that's what I mean. How does one become good if it's all chance?
It's not all chance.
No,
there is chance.
If you take two equal players, the one with the better cards are going to win. So everything being equal, it is all about the cards you get.
No.
But you set your odds of getting cards.
No, what do you mean? So, you set your odds. Everybody's getting
right,
the same amount
so
of cards,
I've
though,
got
right?
the exact same deck, and you've got the exact same deck. I will probably win if I draw the better cards out of that. Okay.
Agreed.
If we are both identical skilled players...
That's exactly, right. exactly.
So, but the thing is, I have a random pull. You have a random pull.
Yeah.
I have to do better building my random pull and setting my odds of getting what I need. I'm better at building the deck. So I have a better deck than you.
Okay. I understand that, but the only reason you have the deck that's better than me is because you were given those cards. The odds of you winning are still going to be less. Right? You know what I mean? I understand it being all random.
It has.
I understand that there's a skill to it, and I understand that there's randomness to it. I'm not understanding where those two cross for someone to become an ongoing champion. Like, oh, I've won top five in 15 different things. How the hell did you do that, man? It's all random and chance.
All right. Let's say I give you a deck of poker cards.
Okay.
And tell you to take 20 of those out and build a deck to deal you a poker hand.
Okay.
What are you going to build out of it?
Probably flush.
All right.
Because that's the odds are I'm going to get
a flush. Or if I tell you... Okay, so you're going to try and build a flush.
All spades. All, right. All my cards are spades. I'm guaranteed a flush.
Because you know that's the best hand.
Yes.
All right.
But what if I
only
have...
How did you figure out what the best hand was?
By studying poker. The rules of poker.
All right. Now, if I randomly give you 20 cards...
Then I have to come up...
You've got
to figure
out... Let's
say you give me 50... Random.
Random out of
and
random.
And then I have to pick 20 out of the best. Okay.
You know, and you've got to figure out, okay, well, this would be a good combination.
Okay.
This would be a good combination.
What you're doing is
this would be a
is
good
building your best opportunity to win.
You create your odds.
Okay.
You
all right.
Stack your deck.
It still
That's
seems hard to me.
That's where the skill comes.
But every once in a while, you're still going to get dealt dirt.
Yes.
No, it happens. There is variation.
I would see that happening more than often. A lot more than
often. I think our original openings were probably better than what we got.
Oh, really?
What we opened...
Some people can play with shit and still win. Other people have awesome and lose.
Okay, skill comes in.
Yeah.
All right. So what I'm saying is my odds of getting screwed... are just as likely as yours are.
Jonathan, if you
the
want to
luck
talk,
factor is equal.
Yeah, I get it.
So the skill is where the variance...
Yeah.
You over... You know.
It just seems to me, all right, when you're playing poker, there is a math in it. You know exactly how many cards are there.
And do you know how many professional magic players are also professional poker players?
Or math people.
A large portion of them, yes.
It seems to me like if you're good at math... You could play the odds and say, okay, odds are that if this card is in my deck, you know, if this card is in a deck, it wins more than if it's not in the, you know what I mean? And, okay, that card,
right,
you know
right.
what I mean? And you
so
don't even
I'm
have to
draw.
Know.
I have a 1 out of 40 odd to draw this card, 1 out of, and now unlimited, you play a 40 card deck.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So you think, all right, I'm going to have 20 land in there. So 50-50, that my odds that I'll draw a land.
Yes.
So
then you have
if
a
I
one
need
in
every
40.
Other card to be a land, you know,
odds
but,
are
so,
good.
Yeah, but if there are several types of say creatures, you know, so I need to have I want
a flyer.
One out of four to be creatures. So yeah. I need to put at least 10 to 15 creatures, so I can make sure that's more important. I'll stack it to favor that. Those are will I take the chance and play the bigger creatures that I need more land. All these little factors you choose on, the only way you can get better on it.
Yeah.
All right. Is
so you
just
can
practice.
Take a risk. You can say, okay, this card, if I'm able to play it and put it into play, I'll win 75% of the time,
right.
but I only have a 10% chance of getting it out.
Just
okay.
Because you know,
that makes
you
sense.
Have a 2.5% chance of seeing that card in a 40
but
card
if you
deck.
Do see it, it's going to boost your odds
right.
of winning. Okay. That's awesome. That's why magic is so freaking awesome.
Well, it'd be, what, 2.25 or something like that? Or
2.5.
2.5?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just make sure I had that right.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. Well, that's cool.
So,
but y'all had a good time, but sucked it up.
Right. I actually did a lot better. Now, no offense, Dave. No offense, Amanda. I did really well in the individual seal.
I did too. I was eliminated in round 3 or round 4. Just
he's
like
not
were.
Saying that you guys were the problem.
I was eliminated
but
in round 8
of the single
on Sunday seal.
Okay.
They do this thing in all the Grand Prix. If you don't make it to day 2, they do what they call the Super Sunday series. They'll do a standard and a sealed, and top 4 of each will play in a top 8 draft. And that will
neat.
Win a flight to Seattle for an invitational tournament
neat.
Where they give away bukus of money.
I love
right.
Seattle's
so,
awesome, too.
It was 9 rounds, and once again, third loss, you're out. I get my third loss in round 8.
Oh, that sucks, dude.
Now, I wouldn't have made top 4, but if I had won those two rounds, I would have gotten, you know, like a box, which is about $120.
Yeah.
And a fancy deck box that was selling for about $40.
And you could have said, hey, look what
the
I did.
Tricera box?
Yeah.
Did you get a Tricera box?
No, I didn't get a Tricera box.
Yeah.
I went with the basic package, so I didn't get the Triceratops.
Right. Now, everybody did these things. They get play mats for starting in the main event and all this other stuff. The Wizard Print Special Foils. It's definitely a fun event. They're definitely fun to go to, and you should at least go to one once.
Nice.
And try. They do constructed events.
How much was it? How much was entry?
This was $50 for the main event.
Nice. And you make that back pretty much in the cards they give you. Close to it.
I mean, realistically, if you were to buy that many packs retail, normally, six packs would be $4 each, and it would cost you $50. So you're talking, not really.
Close to it,
$24. But, you know, usually you get a playmat, which can run $20 to $30.
Nice.
And a promo card that, depending on what it is, could sometimes be worth $100.
Yeah.
In this case, they're worth about $20.
So, yeah.
So, really, between the playmat and the promo.
You wash.
And the cards you get, you know.
Awesome. Man, that sounds like fun.
It definitely is fun. What isn't fun, because, okay, I told you that my third loss in round 8.
Yeah.
I got my second loss in round 3. So
that's not a very good few rounds.
Right. So I ended up playing in the Dream Crush round where it's losing out all day.
Oh, that sucks.
So that was intense, to say the least.
Yeah, that's awesome, though. Yeah. Any card could be the last card you throw for the weekend.
Right,
yeah.
And I tell you what cost me was my mistake. I lost to a player. That was where I lost my third game. I lost to a player. I lost because of skill, not variance.
Yeah.
There were games that I just got
lucky. Lucky. You know, lost to them where they got lucky. Yeah.
Exactly. Where we just didn't see anything or whatever. But what came down to it is I made a simple mistake. And of course, there was a land I needed to tap to produce white mana. I could have tapped the lands differently and not taken damage.
Mana burn?
Well, no, they don't do mana burning.
Oh, wow.
But there's what they call fetch lands. You pay a life, fetch a land.
Yeah.
I had one of those on the table. But I also had a plains on the table.
And if you'd have tapped if I would have
left the plains open.
Yeah.
Because I had it sitting over here in a pile, and I tapped, and I didn't double check what I was tapping. I tapped to cast another spell.
Yeah.
That I accidentally tapped wrong, leaving that fetch land open.
Yeah, I thought they called them pain lands.
Those are something different.
Oh, jeez.
Because this, the fetch land, you go get a land out of your deck and put it into play.
Oh, not tap and take.
Yeah.
That's a pain land.
That's a pain
land. Okay.
So I wouldn't have done that. I was at one life. He was at one life. I would have been able to cast the other burn spell in my hand. But that's life. You screw up. You learn from your mistakes. Anything else?
Why don't you go, Mark? Why didn't Marco, our fearless leader, why didn't you go to the tournament?
Someone has to run the store.
James, sit James or Danny's ass in here.
Actually, I'm not a big fan of
the tournament.
He doesn't like the highly competitive environments.
Because it does kind of suck the fun out.
Yes,
sometimes. I have a lot of fun, but there are definitely people who
take it too seriously. Well, there's money involved, man. That's why I quit gambling on football, because I couldn't stand watching football anymore, you know? Because it was all about the money. That's why I quit gambling on football. I was good at it, though.
And the legality had nothing to do
with it. Oh, well, no, not at all. I actually read a study this morning that the average American commits 3 felonies per day without even knowing it. Because we have so many laws that, the average American commits 3 felonies per day without even realizing it.
There's also, you run through, like 20-some-odd computers a day?
Awesome. What else do we want to get to, man? We got to be close to...
We are.
Man, I'm glad y'all had fun at the tournament, dude. I wish they would do more local stuff like that, you know?
They probably will have another one next year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they've done them 3, and in Nashville they've done it 3 out of the past 4 years.
Oh, very good.
Me and Amanda went to one in Atlanta earlier this year. And she did far better than I did.
Oh, awesome, awesome. I bet there were a lot more people there, too.
You know. Because it was a single-player event.
Oh, okay. Well, Atlanta's just a bigger city.
Well, you know, that's the thing. The team events, it's harder to organize a team.
Yeah.
I did play against someone who learned how to play Magic the night before.
Did they beat you?
No.
Oh, of course not. If they had beaten him, he would have never brought it up.
Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, she was there purely to have fun.
Yeah.
So they needed a third.
That's awesome.
It was her husband and his friend. So she learned so they could play in the tournament.
That's awesome.
And, so the whole time I'm sitting there playing and explaining everything.
Really?
I'm like, okay, next time don't do it this way. This is how you got to do it to kill me. Come on.
Judge!
Judge! You got to do it like this, you know. I'm trying to help her get better.
Yeah.
And, you know, and because when there's that kind of rapport, I think it's better for the game.
Oh, I do too. I mean, if you're not there to make friends and network and have connections, then what the hell is the point? I think that's what conventions and these sorts of things were created for, you know, so we could get together.
Well,
anybody could read a newspaper article about the new Magic set, and they've been able to do that for years, getting together with the players, and yeah, man, that's awesome.
So, any final thoughts for us, Gomer?
I have a final thought. I just saw this yesterday on the Facebook, and hopefully Outright Geeker will be able to attend Clarksville in March of next year. Clarksville, Tennessee, will be having something called Con GT, which is a Doctor Who exclusive con. It's nothing but Doctor Who stuff.
GT, you figured it'd be a Dragon Ball con.
Yeah. But
on Dragon Ball GT.
I'm not sure what the website is. I actually think it's con-gt.com, but just Google Con GT. Check it out. I'm a big fan of local cons, especially really specific conventions like this that are only about Doctor Who. I think it could be really cool.
For the 40th anniversary, the first ever Hello Kitty Con.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm a big fan of that sort of stuff. The cons
Hello
that
Kitty,
are
the modern or the
singular.
Big fan.
Big fan. Big, not even a big Doctor Who fan, just a big fan of cons.
Final thoughts?
Bob.
This weekend is BlizzCon.
You're not going though, are you?
No, but I'm going to buy my online ticket so I can watch.
Metallica
is performing the closing ceremony.
Yes.
Wow.
Do you get the annual BlizzCon pet get online?
Yes.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. What is the pet this year? Do we know?
It's a Murloc that is dressed up like Grommash Hellscream.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And starting next Thursday, I will be much scarcer in the real world because World of Warcraft Warlords of Draenor hits at midnight.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll miss you, Bob.
Oh, he'll be around.
And, you get a free level boost to level 90. Doesn't that take some of the fun out?
Yeah, it does.
You don't have to take it, though.
You don't have to use it.
No,
this makes the expansion
like a new character.
This makes the expansion playable. Yeah.
The thing is, it's there to bring to allow you to get a friend to play with you. That way they're not having to sit and wait
for you to get from 1 to 90.
Yeah, but the level grind's not that hard anymore.
The level grind from 50 above, well, you're right, it might be different
it's
now.
It's completely changed.
But it's the time.
I remember 60 to 90 was bunch.
I can get from level 1 to level 90 in about 4 days.
How many hours? 72 hours straight?
I could say 72 hours.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
So
that's 72 hours. You've got to sit there and wait
for
your buddy to go.
You're worried about us becoming too mainstream.
Now, I'm not going to be on there nonstop. I've got to go to work and all this other stuff, but I would like to be able to play the game I've paid for.
Out of all the gaming conventions, BlizzCon is really the only one I'd want to go to. But not for World of Warcraft.
But Sid Meier's does have After Earth.
The Civilization After Earth, where you go to space.
Yeah.
You gotta learn biology twice. Makes no sense to me.
Gandhi is an asshole.
Yeah, Gandhi's an asshole! He is! Gandhi's a jerk, dude! You eat a sandwich, Gandhi! Come on! Cheer up!
And that's the end of my final thought.
Alright.
Looking forward to Korra this weekend.
Awesome.
No angry Taylor here to back you up this time.
I'm kind of split. I want to see both Interstellar and Big Hero 6. So,
go do it, dude. See them both. Big Hero 6 looks awesome, though, dude. They both look great. I think this is the last weekend of the year that will have this head-to-head really good movie.
What's Hobbit's head-to-head?
Nothing. They have nothing releasing that weekend. Nothing mainstream.
Nothing's going to take on Hobbit. Nothing's going to take on Mockingjay.
Mockingjay's next week?
That was like the 21st or something.
Yeah. Oh, is it 2 weeks?
Closer to Thanksgiving.
I personally am going to probably go see Interstellar, but
I really awesome. Like I'm not going to see anything. I'm going to watch Snowpiercer again on Netflix.
I'm going to watch The Inside of My Eyelids.
All right.
Any final thoughts?
I only think what I'm told to think.
What are you told to think today?
Nobody's telling me to think anything yet.
Think awesome. Something, damn it.
Awesome.
Now.
My mind froze.
You reading any comic books?
Not lately. Not lately.
What
I actually
are you
did
doing here?
Yeah, what the hell are you doing here?
I don't know. I was told to sit here. I did pick up the new Dungeon Dragon Attack Wing, though.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Have you played it?
I did.
Is
me
it awesome?
Jesus did play a game.
What characters do they have?
They have
dragons, of course.
They have dragons, but they have hobgoblins.
They have hobgoblins.
Hobgoblins don't have fucking wings?
No, it's multi-level.
Oh,
you
neat.
You got your flying, your diving, and your round.
They got catapults or
that's
blisters.
New, though, right? That's new, though.
Yeah.
The three-dimensional
Yeah, they've
thing.
Actually, it's a lot
yeah,
nicer.
It's
neat.
They have
they're really improved on it.
Stuff.
How's the point system for that work?
It's a lot more balanced.
Yeah.
Is it?
A lot, they do have you running a bit more point value than the other games.
And of course, the dragons are huge.
All right, so let me
big
ask
base,
you this.
Big bases.
Let me ask you this. For like the Star Trek, you got cards with captains and shit on them. What do you get for D&D?
Dragons have the ability to do spells.
Yes, spells.
Oh, neat. So you get
have
spell
cooldowns.
Cards.
Spells do have cooldowns.
Oh, neat.
You cannot you disable a card. You maybe have it two turns before you can cast it again.
I've been looking
some
at it in previews.
Some spells last longer, mm-hmm. over more than a
yes.
round.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't go off for a couple rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's neat, man. Yeah,
I
saw that in previews.
Also, there's campaign mode.
Yes.
Each expansion comes with a little campaign adventure. Yeah. So if you buy them in a certain order, you can play this one long arc story.
Oh, that's neat.
And like, the detail,
cool.
campaign. The detail is phenomenal on them.
The statues themselves
are
cool.
They look
the
beautiful.
Models.
The models look beautiful.
Speaking of
the actual games. The thing is, they're the same models as the random figs.
Yeah.
So if you need a set of hobgoblins, they're the exact same figs, and they came with adapter pieces. To fit them onto the attack wing type bag.
So you can use them for the attack wing or for
your
D&D.
Our D&D, which is really cool.
Brilliant.
The dragons don't have that, though.
Dude, attack wing might be the game of the decade.
Actually, the base is the same size as the big round.
Attack wing may be
so.
The game of the decade. Man.
Oh, I think
it's
so.
It's brilliant. It's really cool, man.
It is definitely.
It takes the best parts of Warhammer without the confusion.
Right, between X-Wing,
Star Trek,
and attack wing. Now, they bought,
I'm not talking shit on Warhammer. I'm just saying it's more complicated than Attack Wing.
Yeah.
It is. You have 50 freaking dice. It's way more complicated. It's way more complicated. You may not think it is, but it is.
All right.
Speaking of Attack Wing, have you seen the preview for the Scimitar?
Yes, I have. And let's just say
neat.
Romulans get a big show.
Yes, they do.
Awesome. Larry, you got a final thought?
Do, and I would like to suggest that everyone go out there and speak to your doctor about Geek and make sure Geek is right for you. If you have an erection...
If you have Geek lasting longer than 4 hours...
For more than 4 hours, please seek a therapist. Geek may have some side effects, like your house being covered with magic cards, comics, and or other little plastic figures, including variously exposed anime statues. If at any time that you find yourself overwhelmed by Geek, please reserve yourself from taking the Geek until you speak to a medical professional. Thank you and all. Have a wonderful day. See you next week. Same Geek time, same Geek channel.
Good night, Elaine.
Hey, the cooler needs to make you fun of me again!
That was awesome, Larry.
And on that note, we cue the music.